Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, welcome in to the Friday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's off to a fabulous start of their day today. Joe Rex Road, I'm losing my voice heading into the weekend, so this will be fun. How are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah, it sounds like it. Sorry to hear that. Let's see if we can get you through 3 hours here. Yeah, I'm doing all right. If anybody's watching, I'm in my brother-in-law's shrine to the Cowboys. So I got Deion Sanders signed jersey. Jason, yeah. I think they're signed jersey right back here. Got a nice little Cowboys blankie here. So rough go this fall for the Cowboys, but still very nice jerseys.
I was wondering if there was some sort of allegiance shift that you were going through here.
From what?
I don't know.
The Bears?
From hating the Bears to loving the Cowboys.
No. They're not too far down the hate list, although they're definitely way behind the Bears still.
Keiser, what's going on? How we doing?
Morning, fellas. Yeah, doing well. Had a little bit of trouble trying to get y'all on Zoom for half a second. I was a little worried.
I was too. What do you think happened?
Yeah, how'd you fix it?
Well, I think what ended up happening was someone either did not update Zoom or the app was no longer on our browser. So that was a trip for sure.
Wow. How about that? But you know what?
Good save.
That's why you're the best producer in the business, Keiser. You just figured it out. That's what you do.
Absolutely. Got to always get the guys on.
That's right. We got a lot to get to on the program today. The Preds in the losing streak, so they get on the board. We'll get into them a little bit later in the program. Mark Byington, Vanderbilt men's basketball coach, will join us at 7:30, so looking forward to that. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock as well. Joe, I do want to start on the Thursday night game last night just real quickly. So the Rams get a 12-6 win against San Francisco last night. So I didn't watch any of it. I was watching the hockey game. I feel bad for those of you who did with the 12-6 final. But Devondre Campbell basically quitting on his team last night for San Francisco. They wanted him to go in the third quarter to go play, and he just refused to do so. Said he was not going to play, didn't feel like playing. Kyle Shanahan after the game was like, yep, he just didn't feel like playing. So he left, walked off the field, went in the locker room. George Kittle after the game basically said, yeah, I've never seen anybody just like quit on our team, and I hope I'm never around anybody who does it again. So good stuff for Devondre Campbell and the San Francisco 49ers last night.
Yeah, they're hurting. Is there a backstory? I mean, is there anything more to that story?
Well, look, I know Devondre Campbell. He was with the Packers the last few years.
Right.
He's always been kind of a strange guy, and had some comments at the end of last year about basically just throwing everybody from the Packers under the bus, and that how it was going to be so much better in San Francisco, and now he doesn't want to play football apparently. So I don't really know what's going on with him, but. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody do that in an NFL game.
Well, Antonio Brown, right?
I mean, Well, yeah.
So this is two.
At least Devondre Campbell kept his shirt on. So there's that.
Yeah. I mean, Antonio Brown got the most out of his. Like he went down with a fight with a show. But yeah, you definitely don't see it often. That's for sure. That's wild.
And San Francisco loses, so that's going to put them, Joe, in a pretty rough spot in the NFC picture moving forward here.
Well, especially now they've been swept by the Rams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty amazing because I still – obviously they're beat up, but you get Bosa back last night, and it's like that guy totally still changes your team. I think McCaffrey's still supposed to be back, right, at some point? Did we figure this out?
I mean, it's going to be – I think he might be able to come back like the last week, but it's going to be pretty tight.
So, I mean, like, they're that team not being in the playoffs, even with the injuries and stuff, to me is Wild. And I still think that if they were to get McCaffrey back, and now they have Bosa, but you know that they could be a problem. They could be dangerous. I mean, you know, you're not getting Ayuk back.
No.
So you know that's a loss. But they still have enough to me to be a dangerous team in the postseason. I don't think they're gonna be in it.
No, I don't think they're gonna be in it either. So we'll see if that means that the Rams are. I mean, the playoff picture right now in the NFC, pretty interesting when you look at it. Washington still holding on to that last spot, but the Rams are now 8-6, kind of knocking on the door right behind them. So we'll see what that means for the playoff picture moving forward here. We had Charles Robinson on the show yesterday, and we talked about a lot of things with him, including the Bill Belichick hiring, which his press conference was entertaining to watch yesterday at North Carolina. But Charles also got into the Amy Adams struck part of this and kind of talked about the new stadium coming in, the PSL spending that's going on, and that the money that's going to be required to do that, and the fact that Amy Adams struck does not really speak to fans through the media, and had some pretty strong words for Amy Adams struck. Here's what Charles Robinson had to say yesterday on the program.
They're going to get hiked. You're going to pay $30,000, $25,000 for these season tickets, but we'll give you an opportunity to purchase Super Bowl tickets at X amount down the line, and we'll put you on a payment plan. Like, it becomes it's crazy. Like, it's completely wild. And I think that's what fans are going to experience. If an owner puts a fan base through that, you better be accessible. You better be accessible. And you're going to be hated. If you roll out a new stadium and fans are eyeballs deep in debt to watch a 3-10 team, you're going to be hated. That's the bottom line. So I think Amy Adams Strunk has to decide, do I want to be hated by my fan base? Because it'll get there fast. If it's not already there now, the combination of bad football and a lot of money to see the bad football and having no confidence that the bad football is going to be changed, that will lead to a pure hatred of an owner. That'll transform really, really quickly. You might think it's bad now. Just wait. Just wait until you have Titans fans going, I can't buy season tickets, nor do I want to anymore. And this owner is, I don't want to be involved with the team until this owner's gone, because she doesn't know what she's doing and she's not held accountable in any way. She doesn't make herself available to be asked hard questions. It'll turn to hatred. And I hope that, she understands that. I've seen that happen with, Mark Davis makes himself available, and Raiders fans, it's turned into a hatred because he doesn't seem to know what he's doing.
Well, pretty strong stuff from Charles Robinson yesterday on the show, Joe. That generated some reaction throughout the day yesterday. What did you make of those comments from Charles? And what do you make of kind of that dynamic right now between AB Adams Strunk and Titans fans, and how the PSLs and the new stadium factors into it?
Yeah, those are strong words. One thing I took from it is, if anybody didn't see it, DJ Burnside did do an illustration of Mark Davis with like regular hair. Yes. And he actually looks like a super smart and trustable dude. Like, if he had that hair, I'd be like, I bet you that guy's one of the best owners in the NFL. Look at that dude. Huh? What do you think, guys? There's no way. That guy's probably has one of the best teams in the NFL. So anyway, it is amazing how much difference that can make. But those nice are strong.
Keep the bowl cut, Mark. Keep it going.
I mean, I'm rooting for him to keep it going too. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know, Raiders fans may differ. Or maybe, again, if they ever win, they'll all have, like, little hats with it. But, yeah, the Amy Adams Strunk thing, look, the reality is also, I mean, I hear everything Charles is saying. Those are strong comments, and it's amazing to think about, along with the football and all the things that have, you've pointed out this week, and sometimes it's so funny to remind yourself, 3 years ago, number one seed. Along with all those things that have eroded, think about like the public perception of Amy Adams Strunk.
Yeah.
I mean, she was, it wasn't just like, yes, go J-Rob and go Vrabel and go Vray-Rob. Like, also, here's an owner who gets it, and it's stability. And this is going to be, this franchise could be, I heard this the time, they beat the Ravens. It's like, see, that's the franchise you want to be. You want to have that kind of like a sort of identity, and a real long-term, like longevity with your people and things like that. You know, that's those are the very few franchises in the NFL. There was talk of that, and now, of course, there's not. And now Charles is sitting here talking about hatred. You know, I mean, it's something else. But again, you know, also in the NFL, I mean, you know, these owners, I mean, essentially they do just hold cities hostage. You know, I mean, that's what they do, and they win usually. And they get their way. And if they don't, then Stan Kroenke goes to, you know, bounces around the country and back. And, you know, who's the other team that just moved?
Another
team just moved. Well, yeah, the Raiders or somebody else do. But regardless, you know, they'll go. They'll just, well, I was thinking, of course, of the Chargers before that. Chargers, right. You know. So, I mean, that's what they do. So, like, you already – I mean, really, like, that's already happened here. It's just that, like, people agreed to, you know, obviously to keep it here, which is, I mean, I think was the right decision. But bottom line is, like, if you really look into this stuff as a fan, I mean, the only way to really be happy with your owner is, of course, you're never going to be happy with, like, prices or the fact that, like, they are – you know, like, they do what they do. But then you have bad football, and then you have no accountability, no public – accountability, and that combination is toxic.
No doubt. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our text line is down, so hit us up on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Take your thoughts in the YouTube chat as well. We'll have more coming up on the Titans and Amy Adams Strunk. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Taking your thoughts on the YouTube chat as well. Big Ed in the YouTube chat, Joe, says, we've been season ticket holders for 13 years. We'll not be moving to the new stadium. There's no emotional return on investment for me anymore. It's interesting, Joe. We've heard from several people the last few days who said they are going to the new stadium. Several people who said they aren't. You know, PK came on a couple of days ago, talked about how he feels like the stadium's doing well because it's new. People are interested to go see it. There's more than just the Titans that are coming in there, so people want to take it, you know, advantage of all those things that will eventually be coming down the pipe. And I think all those things are good points. But I do wonder, like, right now, with the combination of the most important thing, which is the football team and the record and how miserable they've been to watch this year and really for the last couple years, and then, you know, the way the organization has been run on top of that, how much is that – how much do we think that's actively – affecting the Titans right now when it comes to season ticket holders, the new stadium, interest level in general, apathy, like the state of this fan base right now, how much of this run that they're on is really having a negative impact? That's something I would love to know. If you're a Titans fan, if you're the Titans themselves kind of looking at things right now and taking inventory of where you're at.
Yeah. I mean, we've definitely heard from people who, you know, who have expressed similar things. See, so what's interesting about that to me is, like, you know, as a fan, and again, I'm not telling anybody you should do whatever you want with your money, go or don't, but, like, you do, I mean, in this league, I mean, it is cyclical. Very few organizations continue to win. I mean, even the, you know, the Steelers are back this year, it appears, as a pretty good team. But, you know, they've had a little run of, for them, bad is like 500, basically, right? But, I mean, like, yeah, like a few years, again, this is, I know it's a lot of bad football now, 9-28, but still, like, you know, you'll cycle back, right? I mean, 13 years you've seen the depths, and you've seen pretty freaking good teams in that time. You've seen basically most of the spectrum, not all the way to the champion, obviously, but a pretty big range. So you know that. So then I wonder, Robbie, how much of it is the circumstances that go with the football, which is all the stuff we talk about, which is the rash firings and the non-accountability, the non-public state, you know, all that stuff, just the ownership aspect of it. How much of it is that's turning people off well beyond just a bad football product?
Yeah, it's a great question. And look, I think we all know this. At the end of the day, if they're a winning football team, then – the ownership and all that other stuff becomes secondary. Like, that's what it's about, right?
Sure.
Like, if they're winning games, that's what people care about. But I do wonder, like, if you're a fan looking at it over the last couple of years, it's like, okay, so not only are we bad, we're 9-28 over this stretch here, but you also fired a general manager in the middle of the season. You ran off Mike Vrabel last year about a month after saying and like doubling down that he was going to be your coach. And now you've got a front office that spent all offseason long talking about how they checked every box and that they got every first hit coach on their list and their first choice. And the product's 3-10. They just feel like a dysfunctional organization. Like they feel like they don't really know what they're doing. And that may be unfair. That may be fair. I don't know. But the results are what they are. And then you factor in everything that's gone down in addition to just bad football that you've had to watch on a week-in, week-out basis for the most part over the last 3 years. I have to think that that's at least some of this, Joe. I have to.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely could be. I mean, obviously the football, the product is what it is, and that speaks more than anything. And when it comes down to it at some point, that's what you're judged on. I mean, I guess that right now the question is just like, is it enough, you know, to judge it on? But the public messaging and the football combined, either the messaging itself or the lack of messaging with her, it's a toxic combination. Now, are they dysfunctional in the building? They may have a great thing going, and I know at some point it's like, oh, good, they get along. Who cares? But like, you know, dysfunctional to me speaks to like people not doing their job, not communicating with each other, you know, not being able to do their jobs. Does this product and the bad messaging just tell us that for sure? I wouldn't say so. But again, it's a fair question at some point, you know. I mean, this is why, I mean, at some point, if everybody's working together well and all that stuff, and by the way, there's still a lot of people in this organization who were there with John Robinson and some before him who were still there in the scouting realm. But I mean, that's where, like, at some point the product demonstrates that you're functional, right? So it's got to happen soon.
Well, you know, we talk about it being a results-based business. That really goes for everything, right? Like, you know, you can be technically, I guess, doing the right things and be quote-unquote functional behind the scenes. But if you're functional and it never really pays off in terms of the win-loss record, like, what does that mean? Like, how does that help you in professional sports, right? Like, and again, maybe it's too early to come to that determination with this current setup. That's what Amy Adams Strunk is going to be tasked with here. But it's one of those things that, you know, at some point you're all judged in the organization by, are you winning or are you losing? Ed on the YouTube chat says, you'd think that an owner that hides from the media would be patient because she doesn't have to face the slings and arrows, which is an interesting point. You know, you're not up there facing the music all the time, but she's not necessarily been patient. And maybe that approach changes this offseason, but she certainly, you know, giving out contract extensions to John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, and then both of them being gone 2 years later, would not necessarily be the most patient thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think if you're going to keep hiding from the media, then I guess you can either continue to do what she's been doing, which is just quickly make a decision on people, or you can let it ride. People are going to be mad either way. You know, I mean, people are going to be mad at whatever she does. She does nothing. She does everything. She does something in between. People are going to be mad. Right. Yeah. And then at this point, I would guess you won't talk about it. So, I mean, it's when you have this season, you know, some people will be yay if she fires everybody, but then immediately it's like, okay, so you think that this is going to get better now? You think there's going to be a good hire now? Okay, right. Well, great. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be confident in that. To your point on, the internal versus external product, I mean, it's like our pre-show meetings. Like, I come up with all these awesome jokes and like brilliant segments, and then the show starts and I just kind of puke words in the microphone. You know, I mean, you just can't.
Every day,
like I say, it does not always translate when you have great plans and great, you know, stuff behind the scenes, and Izzo's got us running sprints and everything, and then it just doesn't really pay off, you know?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Tony on the YouTube chat, if we had a good line and a good quarterback play, none of this would be talked about right now. It's like, well, yeah.
That's true. If you had a good football team, it would be different.
That's kind of the point, though, right? Like, you know, she's in charge of putting the people in charge to go get those things, the good line and the good quarterback. And right now, I mean, how far away do they feel from that? They're 3-10, right? Like, you know, I agree, Tony. If they had those things, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. But those are pretty difficult things to find in the National Football League when you don't have them.
Yeah, and again, so and the line is a long-term thing going to back to people who have already been fired. Quarterback is these guys. I mean, that's Rand's second-round pick. And, you know, and however, whatever the discussions came about, you know, that's what it is. It's the front office's pick. So, yeah, sometimes some people think a GM should only get one big QB. The funny thing is Robinson actually never got one, but he made the great move to get Tannehill. But some get more than that. And I guess not being a first-round quarterback makes it a little different.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. So as we sit here today, less than a month remaining in the Titans season here, what are the chances that they end up with the number one pick? Is that going to be a realistic possibility for the Titans over this next stretch here? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Friday morning. I believe we are now halfway functional on the text line, Joe Rex Road. So if you want to send in your text, Rex Road's got them for you. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We got anything good on there so far?
I'm the gatekeeper, so... I mean, actually, since Robbie doesn't have access right now, I could probably just make some stuff up. You know, I think Rex Road's the way better part of Robbie and Rex Road. Here's a text right here from a bud in Nashville. I'm going to give Rex Road a huge race. No. Okay. What do we
Very
have
nice.
Here? Yeah, thank you. So
Rex Road has the best hair on the entire program.
Actually, Keiser's got pretty good hair. But the people don't know that. He's not on camera. We got to do the producer on camera thing, man. So here's we addressed this yesterday, but again, this always comes up. So unnamed texter, I have a question. Just because I don't know, do other owners in the NFL have press conferences all the time or even if they fire someone? I've said this before. I am seriously going to crowdsource this and try to come up with – because first of all, we should be fair. One fair thing to say is some of them don't talk. But we did ask this of Charles yesterday, and like he said, like for the most part – I mean, look, I'll tell you, like, with the Lions, you know, like, I know that Sheila Hampford is available at times, but, like, even William Clay Ford in the bad years, he would be available. Not a ton. He'd sometimes be available after games in the locker room, and he definitely would have press conferences, you know, I think at least once a year. I think once a year is fair, you know? And again, we're talking six. If I'm not mistaken, now let me raise my hand, Robbie, to be fair and transparent. You know, I did a story on the old Oilers team, like Billy White, Hughes Johnson, stuff like that, a few years ago, and I got her one-on-one for that. So you know, so she helped me with that. But again, that's a story she wants to talk for. We talked about her dad and those guys. She was great. So you know, when it's something like that, you know, she has been accessible in the past. Individually, I mean, she's talked to Kaharsky before. Again, she gave the interview to Teresa after firing John Robinson. But yeah, I just some of them are somewhat regularly, some of them aren't. I do want to get that answer to be fair, right? And put it into context. But like, I would be willing to wager that you're not gonna find many who are 6 years since the last presser actually taking questions from reporters. And. And that, by the way, that was after a, you know, controversial, a lot of people, you know, the pick of Jeffrey Simmons and what had happened with him in high school. So it's way too long. And I always believe, Robbie, like this franchise, and let alone now when you're trying to sell something, but this franchise, to me, should always be one of the more accessible ones in the NFL. You know, the reality of this franchise and the youngness of this fan base is what it is.
So there's been a lot of complaining, obviously, I would say over the last few days, but really for the last few months here about the Titans. The distinguished gentleman on YouTube says this fan base is so impatient with one of those, like, you know, cover your face emojis. To which my response is They've been a bad football team for 2.5 years. Like, how long is the fan base supposed to be patient for? Like, you know, is it, you're right. The league cycles, right? So the Titans went through an uptick from 2016 to 2022, where they were a consistently good team. They were making the playoffs. They were winning divisions. And is that going to last forever? No. Is the, you know, being at the bottom of the barrel, which is where they're at right now, is this going to last forever? No. But, like, I'm not going to get on the fans for being impatient. Like, it's been 2.5 years of not only losing, but, like, bad optics, bad football, everything you want to say that goes along with it. It's been a pretty significant run here of bad. So I'm not getting on the fans are too impatient train here with the Titans.
No, if you are patient, and that's great. Good for you. I mean, that's if you can be that as a fan, that's a good thing to be, because this league does, even in this league, with ownership that demonstrates incompetence, you can find competent people and have good football teams and good football. So good for you, but you 9-28, man, 9-28, and all the things that have gone with it that we've talked about, you can't get on people for being upset. I mean, come on. Philip here says, can you talk about the Gentry Estes op-ed in the Tennessean? Well, we started the trend, Philip, okay? Like, we were on that before everybody else. But, yeah, that was actually the rant yesterday, reading some of that, talking about it. Great job by him. He's gotten a lot of attention for it, and he should have, because it was very well done. And for those who aren't familiar, I mean, he basically tore up the Titans for their lack of accountability and visibility and transparency and competence, pretty much carved them up.
It was well done by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. So, Joe, they sit here today at 3-10. According to tankathon.com, they've got the number 6 overall pick if the season were to end today in the NFL draft. You have the Raiders and the Giants, who are both still stuck on that 2-win mark at 2-11. By the way, the Raiders have lost 9 in a row. The Giants have lost 8 in a row. So a lot of losing going on with those two teams. You know, the Patriots, the Panthers, now Jacksonville with their big win against you last week, the Titans, the Jets, and the Browns all at 3-10. So the Titans are kind of right there in that kind of mix at the bottom there in terms of what exactly is the draft order going to look like. How high up are they going to go? Could they be in the top 3? Could they be in the top 7? Do they have a legitimate chance to get in the running for number 1 overall pick? Now, Joe, in order for them to get in the running at number 1 overall pick, the Raiders and the Giants are both going to have to win another game. And based on the way that those two teams have played, I'm not sure that that's going to happen at some point. So it may just be as simple as it's going to be either the Raiders or the Giants then end up getting to this thing. But right now you're in that 6 hole in the draft order. And obviously the more the draft comes around and gets closer, the more we're going to talk about quarterback and the potential options that the Titans could have there. How do you view where things currently stand with the Titans in terms of where they're at in the draft order and the likelihood of them to move up if they do the combination of more losing, which very well could be coming, and other teams around them start to win?
Yeah, well, if you're a Titans fan who wants a regime change, then you got a win-win coming if you can just lose, you know? I mean, not necessarily, but if the Titans are going to actually contend in a schedule where I think they could have a couple more wins here for the top pick and really bottom out here, you know, the higher the pick, the better, obviously. You know, even if they're not going to take a quarterback, someone may want to and get into your spot, then you can get a haul. You know, you can do like John Robinson did in 2016. But obviously, if that's the case, to me, that would potentially be bad news for all the folks doing the job here, right?
Yeah.
So if that's what you want, then there you go. I guess you can root hard for the Titans to lose. But I'm with you. I think the Raiders and Giants especially. Are the Giants going to win another game? They just seem like a dead fish flopping around right now.
Well, on the Raiders front, I'll say this. Raiders' schedule coming down the stretch here is pretty soft. Like, they've got – now, granted, you know, they're the softest part of everybody's schedule too, so I understand that.
Right, right.
They have the Falcons coming up on Monday Night Football, apparently, which – thank God for that. Looking forward to that. Little Falcons-Raiders. They have the Jags they have the Saints and then the Chargers to close out the season. So, I mean, look, the Falcons aren't playing very well. We know what Jacksonville is. The Saints, like, they're, you know, look, somebody's, I think, going to win the Jacksonville Raiders game. So that should help you there if you're the Titans, if you're looking to move up in the draft order.
But also hurt you because one of them has to lose.
One of them has to lose as well. So you got that. But I'm just saying, like, the schedule for the Raiders looking ahead here, there's going to at least be some opportunity for them to win. Like, the Giants also have the Falcons coming up and the Colts. They also have the Ravens and the Eagles. And you wouldn't, you know, unless the Eagles game, which is the last game of the year, just means absolutely nothing for Philadelphia, which maybe it does at that point. But the Giants are just absolute cheeks. They're awful.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, with the Falcons, obviously they're nosediving, but they're still, like, totally in the race to win their division. So I actually think they'll probably get well with those games, but maybe not. I mean, the way they do look vulnerable, the way they've been playing, the way Cousins been playing, their defense, like, hey, oh, Justin Jefferson's all alone downfield. Well, oh well, you know, don't know how that happened, but, you know, so it's possible, certainly, that that the Titans could get a little bit of help there. I just, you know, I guess, of course, I was pretty certain they were going to beat the Jaguars, and I was wrong about that. But I just have a feeling they're going to win a game or two here.
Yeah.
I can't tell you.
Well, I mean, look, they do have Jacksonville. The Titans have Jacksonville one more time on the schedule. They've got an Indy team that I know that Indy beat them here, and now you have to go on the road to Indianapolis. Like, you know, go watch them play. Depending on the week, you know, they can look as bad as anybody when they're bad. So, like, it's not an unwinnable game for the Titans to beat Indianapolis. So the likelihood is the Titans are probably going to find at least one or two more wins here, and then we're not having the number one overall pick discussion. But right now, I mean, they are technically still – in the running for it at this point, even though I think the more likely answer of where they end up is about where they are right now, which is around that 6th or 7th overall mark, which I know some Titans fans listening are screaming, saying, no, get me up higher. I want to be higher in the draft.
Yeah. And, you know, this does not, I mean, by all draft analyst accounts, you know, this is not a super deep draft in terms of top end. You know, players, forget like QB. It's obviously not a great QB. Also, it's not supposed to be a great offensive tackle draft, by the way. So
get excited, Titans fans.
You still should be able to get a really good player at 6 or 7. I mean, to me, like, you know, an edge, if that's the way it falls, there should be some good options there. But yeah, I mean, it's, if you can just be, you know, if you could get to 3, I mean, that to me, it's like, if you can get to any place where you might be able to move out because someone wants quarterback, or again, maybe they are taking a quarterback, then that's where it could really benefit you.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. The streak is over, baby. Preds get a win last night. We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nashville's best deal this week, 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Check them out at 371 Monroe Street in Germantown, or order takeout online at 312pizzaco.com. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
And it goes up in the air and lands behind the goal. O'Reilly in front! Hey! Scores! Ryan O'Reilly breaks the ice. The Predators take a 1-0 lead with 8:20 left in the second. 4-on-4 goal. His first NHL game since April 2023 for the Preds. Down low, Novak! Hey! Scores! Marchessault to Novak, and the Predators take a 2-0 lead with 6:27 left in the second. Another tip on, and another goal for the Preds. Ryan O'Reilly tips it in the slot, and it's 3-0 Nashville.
Preds win, baby. The streak is over. They get it done last night in Dallas. 4-1, the final score. Ryan O'Reilly back in the lineup. 2 goals, 1 assist for him, so a big night for him. Joe, the first time, last night was game number 30, the first time all year that they've had a player reach 3 points in a game, which is just unbelievable so far this year. First time all season. O'Reilly gets it with 2 goals and 1 assist last night. So 2 goals for him. Novak scores for the second consecutive game. And Jonathan Marchessault, after scoring twice on Tuesday with 2 assists last night. Preds, hey, they look like a good hockey team last night in Dallas. And looked that way very often so far this year. The streak is over, Joe Rexroad. Hallelujah. Rejoice if you're a Predators fan.
What does it all mean? Is this was the turnaround against the Stars last year? Is that right?
Well, I don't know
if the big run was it the first game against the Stars, or am I wrong about that?
Well, it was right before that. They got beat 9-2 by the Stars.
By the Stars. The Stars, yeah. That's right. The Stars spurred it and the U2, and yes.
Yes.
So maybe beating the Stars, and now Barry Trotz surprises them with a concert they're going to.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And you flip it kind of the other way. See what I'm saying?
I mean, if only like Timberlake was in town last night, I think, right? So maybe they could have like hopped. If it was tonight, they could have hopped from Dallas back to here before going to Colorado and checked out, you know, Justin Timberlake, but just didn't work out that way with the schedule.
Well, there's always some live music here. There's some really good 80s bands they can hit up, you know, and just team bonding and then keep it rolling. But seriously, I mean, hey, it's good to see. I mean, 4 goals beating that team, which has been a terrible matchup for them. You know, like you said, so you got O'Reilly back in. You still have so now. What are they all of a sudden like looking okay at center now?
Well, look, Stamkos looked good last night, man. Like down the middle of that line, Forsberg, Stamkos, Marchessault, it looked good again. So, I mean, I definitely keep going with it. You know, is last night some turning point in the season? Hard for me to get there. Like they won a game and they ended the 8-game losing streak. So that's good. Like, you know, the negativity that has been surrounding this team, justifiably so, is like a tidal wave, right? So good for them that they get the win and they get to end some of that, at least temporarily, before they go back to Colorado coming up on Saturday. The most amazing part is, like, I looked at their defense heading into the game, Joe, and Josi didn't play. Lauzon warmed up and did, like, morning skate yesterday, but he didn't play. Carrier, we know, is not going to play, you know, anytime in the foreseeable future right now. So you're down 3 of your defensemen, and you brought up Kevin Gravel. So you got like Willsby, Kevin Gravel, Nick Blankenberg, all playing, and Mark Del Geiso, like all playing big minutes on defense for you. And you're going up against a Dallas forward group that's like as loaded as anybody, 1 through 12 with their forward group, and you hold them to 1 goal. Like that's the most amazing thing. And by the way, you started your backup goalie. Onanen has looked awesome his first 2 games. Like, he was great last week against Montreal, and the Predators didn't help him out at all. They got shut out. And then last night he made 37 saves. Like, Onanen looks unbelievable in his first 2 games.
It is amazing with the injuries and the decor, but it's also like, how often does that happen too? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like sometimes, and you know, again, don't want to overstepping this, but sometimes that can be a little bit galvanizing too, you know, when you've got injuries and stuff like that, you got young guys and it looks like a terrible matchup, and you know, you come through with a performance like that. We have seen you know, past Preds teams be sparked by young guys who had to be called up or just were called up because whatever, they're changing things a little bit, and the young guys have kind of, you know, kind of helped drag some of the veterans along at times. So Maybe there's a little bit of that going on. And yeah, it's good to have. I mean, if you're going to get that kind of, you know, backup goaltending, goaltending's pretty good shape for this team right now. We can say that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Onanen, his numbers on the season are bad. At least they were heading into last night. I think he was like at a 311 goals against average and an 879 save percentage. But most of that's obviously been with Colorado, and they hadn't had anybody stop the puck all year long until, you know, Scott Wedgwood got a shutout the other night, so there was that. So they've kind of revamped their entire goaltending department. But, like, Onanen, like, he's 6'4", 210 pounds. Like, he's got the prototypical goalie size that you're looking for. First 2 games, he's looked awesome. So I don't know what that means for him moving forward here. But the first 2 games, he's played great as a member of the Predators. So good to see that last night. But, I mean, Joe, I think the big takeaway that I've got that I'm interested to see what happens. That's 2 games in a row where I think Marchessault's been pretty good. Is this like the start of him turning his individual season around, right? You know, the team is in a tough spot. You know, I've talked about this week. Just from a math perspective, it's going to be really hard for them to get themselves back into this where they're playing meaningful hockey down the stretch in terms of the record. But like Marchessault scored twice Tuesday, two primary assists last night, and I thought he was pretty involved in the play, like probably could have had a couple more assists. So what does that mean? Like if they get him going, I thought Stamkos looked good last night. Because I've said that this is not just a this year problem right now. This is the bones of the whole thing. What's it going to look like moving forward here? So encouraging from Marchessault the last two games.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the only way out of this. If there is any way out of this, is just like hoping some of these guys start to play up to their career level, right?
Yeah.
And like you said, it is more than this year. You know, the Marchessault thing, it's like, when these comments, not that they were hugely controversial, but still, when these en français comments were made, you know, it's like sometimes with that, it's like, well, it's about to get real bad. Or maybe you're going to see a turnaround, you know? I mean, even there were times, of course, here you think about like Matt Duchene and all the disappointment. And then all of a sudden went on a heater. I'm not comparing to Matt Duchene, but I'm just saying like, sometimes you just see that player go through a street that makes no sense. And it's like, well, that's what that player is, I guess. Yeah. And then it's like, oh no, actually there is more there to it. And that's what the Preds have got to find that. But now, so Stamkos maybe in a spot that's working, it's working better for everybody. So obviously both of those guys have to be a huge part of the solution, as does Forsberg.
Yep. No doubt about that. And look, I'll give Ryan O'Reilly credit. You know, he goes down last week. The injury was a week to week injury. And he was out basically a week. Like he was trying all he could to get out there on Tuesday for the game against Calgary. He was out there for like 45 minutes before the morning skate, just going, I mean, just testing it all he could. Like the Zambonis were going on around him, and he was like weaving in and out of the Zambonis on the ice. I mean, that guy, you can't say that guy doesn't care. Like, you know, we've talked about this. It's kind of funny with O'Reilly after they lose games. He like takes every possible thing that went wrong in the game and puts it on himself. But
sure,
like he gutted it out last night. There's no doubt about it. Like he's still going through some stuff with his lower body injury, and he guts it out last night and ends up with 3 points. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he's a winner. Yeah. You know? He always has been. And also, yes, calls himself a loser. So it's quite a contrast. The text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Chip from Mount Juliet says, last night the Preds had true hungry defenseman. Yossi is a defenseman trying to be a forward.
Here we go.
well, Yossi is, yeah, he's a pretty good offensive defenseman. I'd say those are kind of valuable in pro hockey.
Well, by the way, did you see the
game
Tuesday?
Pretty well for him and them.
Like, did you watch Tuesday when they lost him and couldn't defend anyone? I mean, there is that too. Like, he's not a bad defender either.
No, he's pretty good. That's how you win Norris trophies. Matt says the speed of the Rooks and the Preds brought in last night. Wow. And Keith says Preds are back, baby. We're winning the cup. There you go, Keith.
Yeah, baby. I like
turn
it.
Turn it around. Turn it around.
I like it. 615.
Hey, man, it's talking about something different. We'll take it.
Amen. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. Titans fans, I'm speaking to you. Do you want Will Levis as the quarterback next year, or do you want somebody else? And your somebody else better be a realistic option, if that's what it is. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.